This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's awesome to have you with us, coming to you from a spectacular Cape Town in South Africa. Man, a beaut of a day as I record this, and a great pleasure to catch up with one of our returning guests today. We head back to Rutland in the United Kingdom to catch up with Paul Cowling to talk a little bit about his Ironman bike. Before we do that, though, don't forget that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for high-performance race wheels at half the price, they've done a whole bunch of independent testing on them, and they are up there with the best wheels in the world. And I kid you not, half the price of what you would be paying against some of the other big brands. So, yeah, go and check them out. You will not be disappointed. And if you go onto the website and you decide you want to buy yourself a set of wheels, the good folks over at Wheel Science are giving you 10% discount for being a loyal Kona Edge listener. All you need to do is use the coupon code Kona Edge at checkout. That's Kona Edge at checkout, and you'll get 10% off your order. The link is in the podcast player you're listening to this on. You can click straight through or simply head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels, and it'll take you straight through there. It's as simple as that. Let's get straight into my chat now with Paul Cowling. You're listening to the Kona Edge. Time to chat some biking. We head back to the UK to catch up with Paul Cowling. Paul, welcome onto the podcast once again. Great to catch up.
Yeah, hi.
Paul, out of the three disciplines, where would you rate your bike? Is it weakest, strongest, in the middle?
Weakest, probably.
By a long shot, or is it almost there?
Not anymore. It was. I thought I was all right, and then you start looking at everybody else, and you realise that you're not. So, I tend to come out of the swim okay, and then my position would just drop in the bike, and then I'd catch a little bit up on the run. But yeah.
Why do you think it's out of the three, it is the weakest?
That's difficult, really. Just there's some incredible cyclists. Yeah, and I just never was one of those. I just bought a bike and got on it and rode a little bit. That's how I started getting into this. I didn't have any technique or any understanding of how to cycle well. So it's just building that experience up, I think. I just didn't have it, and I'm trying to get it.
I asked you this question with the swim. I mean, there's always areas to work on. What are some of the things you've had to work on the bike and are working on the bike?
This season I've just worked on power, just trying to figure out numbers. So I'd never done it before. So I've never trained to power, never trained to anything. I've just ridden my bike. And yeah, you have some fast sessions and long, slower sessions and stuff, but there was never any like science involved. I'm not really that kind of guy, but I've had a little bit of help this year, and we're looking at it and like seeing progress, measuring stuff.
Are you finding that, does that fire you up, seeing those little gains? Does it make you want to work harder?
Yeah, it's nice to see the little charts go up, isn't it? See, at least on the charts, you're getting better. It's irrelevant if it doesn't pull off on race day, but at least it looks like you're doing all the right things and you're going in the right direction. You just got to test it on race day, haven't you?
Because that is one of the frustrating things. You might be getting sort of small gains in training, but you don't get to test it that often in race conditions, particularly in Ironman conditions or in Ironman distance, because you're not doing one every second weekend. So it's almost, you've got to have patience, and you've almost got to trust the system, don't you?
Yeah, you have. I think maybe that's one of my advantages to never having trained with power and all the science stuff. Like I've got a pretty good grasp of where I am, and a good feel for how I'm doing. So I combine that with the new data, and it gives me a better idea of how I'm doing in the minute to event. I've got a pretty good sense of that.
You obviously, this season is the first season you're training to power. Over your triathlon career so far, I mean, do you think there's been one or two things that you've done that's really improved your bike performance and helped you get better and stronger on the bike?
Just I could bike fit does really well, and just sorting out your position, especially for a specific race. A race like Kona, where aerodynamics is really important, just being sat in a comfortable position you can hold for that amount of time, and cycle efficiently. That's pretty key. So that's probably one of the main things.
It's such a, I mean, you say bike fit and it seems like such a small thing, but it is a big thing. And you mentioned the two words there is aerodynamics and comfort. And sometimes they don't go together. You can be as aerodynamic as you like, but if you can't stay in that position for a 4 hour, 5 hour, 6 hour bike, whatever you're chasing, it's pointless. It doesn't matter how aerodynamic you are.
Yeah, of course. And if you can't, put the power down, or you can't sit in that position for more than an hour, it's just a waste of time. It's just always a balance, isn't it? It's just striking that balance to get the best out of yourself.
Tell me a little bit about your gear. I know you said you're not the biggest techie when it comes to the bike side of things, but what's your setup look like? What are you riding? Do you know the sort of specs?
So I've got a Scott Plasma and set of zips on it, 808s. That's about it.
it's got a chain ring at the back, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I ask people that are smarter than me to fix it for me occasionally, and I can build the thing. The mechanics are quite surprised how I can build it in a hotel room with a set of Allen keys, but I don't really know anything about it.
I love it. And that's all that matters. As long as it works, Paul, that's the important bit. As far as sort of favorite workout on the bike, what do you love doing? What do you enjoy getting out and doing?
Just, I think a lot of it just becomes very, very similar. You're just doing the same thing consistently working through. So a ride where you ride with a good mate, you chew each other's legs off. That is it. That's brilliant. You ride somewhere nice. There's no cars around and you can just hammer it and you come back and you're pretty tired and you both had a good ride. Like that wins it for me, hands down, over anything else.
You're also pretty lucky, I think, where you live. You're not in a big centre like London. So getting out in the countryside must be pretty easy from where you are. And like you say, quieter roads and just being able to hammer it for hours.
Yeah, I can ride probably a mile from my house in any direction, and I can just ride quiet roads. So I can go out on Sunday morning and not see a car for hours. So pretty lucky where we live. The guys in London, I have no idea how they cope with that. I've got mates that live there. I just don't get it.
Yeah,
we just ride and ride. There's no interruptions. Just miles of just quiet roads.
As much as the roads are quiet, the weather can be quite miserable where you are as well. It's at the best of times. Do you have to do much on the indoor?
About. It's beautiful.
Summer was last week Tuesday.
Yeah, we get a summer one day a year. Well, actually, no, this year has been really good. Yeah. I can't moan this year.
No. I believe so, and I believe it's been pretty hot as well. So that is a big bonus. But do you have
to? The ground was on fire. It was like, it literally was.
Do you have to do much on the indoor trainer?
Yeah, I do quite a lot now, just to keep it consistent. Most of the Brits are pretty hardy. Like, we'll go out and stuff that people would consider the depth of winter. Like I look at some of the Aussies on social media and they're moaning in the winter. And I'm like, that's a summer's day. They've got their thermals on and they're moaning about how cold it is. And I'm like, mate, I'll be in my shorts and T-shirt.
Sun's out, guns out. I mean, yeah. I'm just looking out my window as we record this, Paul, and we're coming out of winter now as well. But it's magnificent. And I'm sitting all wrapped up because I think it's cold. And it's probably I'll tell you now, temperature-wise, exactly what it is. It says it's 9. It feels a lot, 9 Celsius, that is. It's definitely not 9 Celsius, I can tell you that much. It's warmer than that, but I'm still cold. But yeah, sun's out, no wind. It's beautiful. And it's middle of winter. It sucks.
Yeah. It's currently drizzling here, which is
lovely summer's day it is. Tell me a little bit about sort of what's the sort of ideal bike for you. What does it look like? What's the what are you working towards?
So the ideal bike
performance.
Just getting to the end feeling strong. I think that's how I approach the races. I try and get to the end of the bike ride in as good a condition as I can be. That's all I really ever worry about. So you can try and run at that point. So just not killing myself and having a competitive time. I'm not too worried about what anybody else is doing during the race, because a lot of the time the guys that fly past you, you'll see them at the road. So if I can have a good race and be relatively in the mix, that's what I'm looking for. Because it's really hard to put a time on things, because it just depends, doesn't it? Like, you can race the same course every day for a week and you'd have different times. But as long as it's relatively okay, that's what I'm really worried about.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, it's been great chatting about your bike. I look forward to talking about your run, but we'll save that for next week. Thanks for your time on the Cone Edge today.
No problem. Thanks.
And that's a wrap for another edition of the podcast. Thank you very much to Paul, and thank you to our sponsor of this podcast. It was brought to you by Wheelsight. If you're looking for high-performance race wheels at a fraction of the cost, you can get all the performance at half the price. I kid you not. Go check them out. TheKonaEdge.com/wheels is where you can find out more. That's TheKonaEdge.com/wheels. And make sure that you use the coupon code KonaEdge at checkout to get 10% off your order. Before I go, though, another quick iTunes review for you from GoJTGo, saying gold nuggets for age groupers. Brad, thank you for the Cone Edge podcast. As a mid-pack age grouper, I've picked up nuggets that have helped me. I appreciate hearing from a wide variety of athletes putting in the work to get better every single day. Thanks again, and here's to Kona Dreams, GT. Thank you so much for that iTunes review. It is massively, massively appreciated. And all the best on your journey as well. I look forward to hearing from you again, and feel free to pop me an email. I'd love to know what you're training for, what the goals are. My email address is brad@thekonaedge.com. Until tomorrow, have yourself a great one. We'll chat then. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.